spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it.
Hallelujah. Thank you, worship team. Appreciate that. This morning, we have a special treat. Of course, you know, we've been made major modifications next door. We've gotten Tanae on board. We started our first youth group meeting in first Saturday in April. So it's very young. I'm excited about what's going on over there. And Tanea was showing me some of the things that they're doing, and I just really wanted you guys to see it. And, you know, we're small in number, but that's fine. And I know that some of y'all might be nervous this morning, but there is a happening in the Bible where Jesus and the disciples were observing people bringing their gifts of money to give. And many of them brought lots of money and gave it. And this widow lady comes up, and she didn't have a lot of money. And she brought up just a little bit. By comparison, it was nothing. But Jesus turned to his disciples and said, that lady just gave more than all those others. He said, how you figured that? He said, because she gave out a sincere heart. And so this morning, I'm not looking for flash and everything to be perfect. I'm looking for sincerity of heart, because that's what transforms lives. So this is your family here, and we all love you. And so Tanea, come on up and lead this.
Okay, hey. So for the month of April, we did a foundation series about the basic principles of the gospel message. And today, I'm actually greatly encouraged by what took place in this room, because that's the gospel. The church is for the sick. It's not about coming and pretending like you're perfect. It's actually about coming here and bearing one another's burdens and realizing that there's a God who loves you and wants to change your life. And he's going to do that for that man. So I'm greatly encouraged that he was here today. So we are going to start with a scripture that Leah is going to read.
And I am certain that God who began the good work within you will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns.
Thank you, Leah. So this is twofold. God has started a good work in the grand scheme of mankind and also in our lives individually. So Adam and Eve sinned, and there was the fall of man, and yet God sent his son. And so he started this work of redemption. And the Holy Spirit is doing a good work in humanity until we are restored to the fellowship that we're supposed to have with him back in the Garden of Eden, right? In heaven. And yet we also, because the Holy Spirit is with us, we get to experience that fellowship even here and now. And so in our lives, when we accepted Jesus into our hearts, because God showed us his love, revealed himself to us, and the Holy Spirit is transforming us into the day that Jesus comes back for us. And so he started a good work in humanity, and he also started a good work in the lives of everyone who's in this room, including you, Anthony. He started a good work in your life, sir, and he's going to complete it. That's the gospel, and I believe it. So the Bible is split into two. There's the Old Testament and there's the New Testament. So in the Old Testament, God gave this law, this set of rules, what to do, what not to do, to his chosen people, the Israelites. And why did he give the law? well, there was a problem. Man was sinful. So in the Garden of Eden, God gave man a choice to either follow him or to follow their own passions and desires. Okay? But it's through Christ alone that we can attain to a higher calling than just living for ourselves, but we can actually live for God and we can serve others. And so that's a higher calling that we can't achieve on our own, that we can only achieve through the Holy Spirit. And that's a calling that we wouldn't even imagine for ourselves in our own sinful state. And so if you look at that picture, that man is walking on the cross, because it says that people, we're all born with a sinful nature, which means that we rebel against God, that we were separated. Adam and Eve were cut off. They were cut out of Eden. They were cut off from that fellowship with God that we were all designed to have, that our hearts yearn for if we don't have it and we don't even realize it. That it's God that we're looking for. We might turn to alcohol or drugs or any other amount of things, but ultimately our hearts, we were designed to be filled with God and his love and to reflect that love back to him. And so we can only do that through Jesus. Jesus died so we could be restored back to that relationship with God that we were always supposed to have. And it's through God, who is holy, that we can have peace. We can let the peace of Christ dwell in our hearts, that we are forgiven of our sins, and that we can have abundant life through him. So God's call to holiness, to be like him, obviously we can't be holy on our own. And so part of the reason that Jesus died wasn't just so we could be forgiven of our sins, but also he said that he was going to go back to heaven and he was going to send our helper, the Holy Spirit, who transforms us, who started that good work within us to make us like him, because we were created in the image of God. Okay. So the problem was that man was sinful. So God had to put a plan into action. So we're talking about the law and the Old Testament and the New Testament and the relationship between the two. So the law in the Old Testament in Hebrew was the word Torah, meaning a precept or statute. So it was a rule, right? What to do, what not to do. And man just couldn't live up to all of it. But then in the New Testament, the word law in the Greek, it's a principle. It's a standard that you live by. So it's something that's ingrained in your heart and you live out of that place. And so a practical example of that relationship between the two, of a rule and a principle, is in the Old Testament, one of the rules that God gave was to honor your mother and your father. And in the New Testament, that's a principle that Jesus lived by. He didn't have to think about it every second. Oh, I need to honor my father in heaven. Oh, I need to honor my father in heaven. He just lived that from his heart. That's who he was. And so that commandment in the Old Testament to honor your parents, in the New Testament, we see that reflected in how Jesus lived in his relationship with our Heavenly Father. And because he gave us the Holy Spirit, we get to have that same kind of relationship. We get to live out of that place of honoring God all the days of our lives. And so now I'm going to show a video that really ties all this together.
You're most likely familiar with the Ten Commandments in the Bible, stuff we generally take as good advice. Don't murder, don't steal, honor your parents, the list goes on.
And those are just the first 10. There are actually a total of 613 commands, all given to ancient Israel, found in the first 5 books of the Bible, which in Hebrew are called the Torah.
Now, the word Torah is usually translated in English as the law, because it has all of these laws in it. And as you read through them, you wonder, am I supposed to obey some of these, all of these? I mean, what's the purpose of the law?
Well, that translation is kind of confusing, because while the Torah has laws in it, the book itself is fundamentally a story about how God is creating new kinds of people who are fully able to love God and love others. And when Jesus taught about the Torah, he said that he was bringing that story to its fulfillment.
So walk me through the story and how it's fulfilled.
So the story begins with God creating humanity who rebels. And God chooses Abraham to bless all of the nations through his family, who end up in slavery down in Egypt, and so God rescues them. Then at Mount Sinai, God makes a covenant with Israel, like an agreement. And all of the laws that Moses gives to Israel are the terms of that agreement. They're like a constitution. And so some of the laws, they're about rituals and customs that set Israel apart from the nations. Other laws are about social justice or morality. And by following these, Israel would show the other nations what God is like.
Okay, so the rest of the Torah, is just the complete list of laws that Moses gives Israel?
No, the rest of the Torah just continues the story. And the 613 commands are only a selection from that original constitution. And even these have been broken up and placed at strategic points within the story. Now pay attention, because you'll see a really clear pattern. Moses gives the first laws to Israel.
Yeah, don't worship other gods, don't make idols.
And then right after that, there's a story of Israel breaking those very laws.
Yeah, they worship the golden calf.
And so Moses gives some more laws, and then you get more stories of rebellion. Some more laws, rebellion again, some more laws, more rebellion, and you start to see the point.
Right, no matter how many laws, they're just gonna continue to rebel.
So at the conclusion of the Torah's story, Moses gives this final speech to Israel as they prepare to go into their new home. And he tells them, you guys, I know that you're not going to follow all of God's laws. You've proven to me that you're incapable. And Moses says the problem is that their hearts are hard and that they're going to need new, transformed hearts if they're ever going to truly follow God's law. And he was right. I mean, the story goes on to recount Israel's total failure.
They go into the land, they break all the laws.
Right. Now, the next section of books in the Jewish tradition are the 15 books of the prophets, and they reflect back on the story. For example, Ezekiel, he said that if Israel was ever going to obey the law, God's Spirit would have to transform their hard hearts into soft hearts. And Jeremiah said that's when obedience to God's commands wouldn't feel like a duty, but they would be written deep in their hearts. And Isaiah, he promised a future leader, Israel's Messiah, who will lead all of the people in obedience to the law. Now, in Jewish tradition, all of these books together are called the prophets, even the historical books, because they're continuing the story told from the perspective of the prophets.
Okay, so we have the law and the prophets, and they're telling one connected story about God's desire to bless the whole world through a people, Israel, who it turns out needs a new heart.
Yes, and Jesus saw himself as continuing that story. So he agreed with the law and the prophets when he taught that it's out of the human heart that come the most ugly parts of human nature. It's like the default setting of our hearts is opposed to God's law. But Jesus also said that he came to solve that problem, and in his words, to fulfill the law.
So what does he mean there, to fulfill the law?
Well, first he said that the demand of all of the laws in the Torah could be fulfilled by what he called the great command, that we are to love God and to love others.
So that seems pretty easy. I mean, we all want to love.
Well, we think we want to love. But Jesus showed how love is far more demanding than we realize. So he quotes the law, do not murder. And he says, yes, not killing someone is a very loving thing to do. But then he also says that when you treat someone with disrespect or when you nurse resentment against them, you're also violating God's moral ideal because you're not treating that person with love. And so Jesus said true love ought to extend even to our own enemies. So even though this command seems very simple, Jesus showed how our hearts are not currently equipped to fulfill even this basic command of God to love others.
And that's kind of a downer.
But where Israel failed, Jesus brought this story to its fulfillment. As Israel's Messiah, he fully loved God and others, and he showed all of the nations what God is truly like. He did this through his acts of compassion and mercy, and ultimately by loving his enemies even unto death. And after his resurrection, he told his followers that he would send God's Spirit to transform their hearts so that they could follow him and fulfill the purpose of the law, to love God and to love their neighbor. So this fulfills the story of the law and the prophets, or in the words of the Apostle Paul, the one who loves fulfills the law. This video was made possible by over 1,300...
So, Jesus fulfilled the law. Leah, I'm going to have you read Matthew 5:17.
What's that second word right there? Mm-hmm. What's that second word?
Oh, misunderstand.
Don't misunderstand why I have come. I did not come to
abolish
the law of Moses, mm-hmm, or the writings of prophets. No, I came to accomplish their purpose.
Yeah, so that word abolish means to get rid of. Because, like, God gave them this set of rules. And Jesus was saying, I didn't come to just die on the cross and say, okay, forget all those rules now. Like, no, he came to fulfill the purpose of the law. And so the problem was that man was sinful. The plan was to send, God was to send his son. And the solution was that Jesus, when he came, he fulfilled the law. Because the greatest commandment was to love the Lord your God with all that you are. So God, in the form of Jesus, loved the Father with all that he was to the point of death. And he loved his neighbor, all the people on this earth, past, present, and future. He loved them to death, to die for them, so they could be forgiven, but also so that when he ascended to heaven, the Holy Spirit, and the dove represents the Holy Spirit, could come down from heaven and give believers new hearts so that they could also fulfill the law to love God with all that they were and to love their neighbors. Okay, so now we're going to talk about the purpose. Like, what was the point of giving the law, that set of rules in the Old Testament? So will you read this passage, Romans 5, 20 to 21?
God's law was given so that all people could see how sinful they were. But as people sinned more and more, God's wonderful grace became more abundant. So as sin ruled over all people and brought them to death, now God's wonderful grace rules, instead giving us the standing with God of results in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Thank you, Leah. And so what that means is that God gave people this set of rules to show them, you guys are so sinful, you can't live up to this. So I'm going to die for you and give you my Spirit, who's going to transform your heart, transform your soul, transform your mind, so that you will love me with all that you are. The whole reason I gave you a brain was so that you could even try to comprehend my love for you, and so that you can use that brain to love me. But you were born sinful, so I have to give you my Spirit to renew your mind to love me. I have to send my Spirit to give you a new heart that loves me. I have to send my Spirit to transform your soul to become like my Son, because that's who I created you to be. And so now that people saw the law, saw how sinful they were, we're sinners separated from God. We recognize we couldn't live up to God's glorious standards because that's what the Bible said. But when we accepted him into our hearts, he started a good work within us, like we were talking at the beginning. And so God's grace isn't just, well, I forgive you so you can keep living the way you were. No, his grace is, I forgive you and I want to empower you to live like Jesus Christ. I want to empower you to be restored to fellowship with me. I want to empower you to experience the fullness of what I have for you, not just when you die and get to heaven, but here on this earth. And that's what we want. That's how we walk in victory and assurance and peace and comfort. And then that eternal life that we do get is to live forever the way that God wants us to, with him and with all of his family, and true righteousness and joy forevermore. Okay, so lastly, so what is commanded of us? And Jesus summed up the whole law that he gave in the Old Testament with two commandments. So will you read this last passage for us, please?
Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second like is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. And the entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments.
Thank you. Can we all clap for Leah, please? All right, so now the other three leaders are gonna do their segment with the teens. So Laura is up first.
Good morning. I'm going to have a helper this morning while the others bring up our little easel. And I want to preface this, my section. I want you to know that I love this church. You're my family, and it's a blessing and privilege to serve you, each and every one. And when I told Tanea that I would support her in any way, I wasn't really sure what I was getting into. And then I thought, oh, it's just going to be prayer or something like that. And it didn't turn out that way. And then I started thinking, I thought, man, what are these kids going to think of? Some old lady that's in here with this colored hair and these wild clothes. And she said, don't worry about it. You'll just fit right in. And then one home group night, Addison said to me, you make me feel like a teenager. You are a teenager. So that's me. I will never grow old. So, well, let me get behind here. So anyway, I do consider it a privilege. And it's not just us being leaders, but it's fun to see what God is doing on Saturday night with the kids, whoever comes. There was a word at the dedication that not to despise the day of small beginnings. So it's not about numbers, but it's about what God wants to do in each of the hearts of the people that come. And it's exciting. We have lots of fun. We play, but we have a lesson, and God is moving, and these kids are really smart. So the other thing I was thinking about is, you know, God does not call us to be perfect. He uses wherever our imperfections are. And all of us, the four of us, it's really interesting. We all have issues, but God works through us. And you need to remember that for yourselves, that God works in each one. Because one of these things that we're learning about today, the Old Testament, the covenant, the law was imperfect. In order to be perfect, you had to keep every one of them, and you can't do it. The law has no mercy or grace. All of that came under Jesus Christ. But this was a forerunner of what Jesus was going to do. So we started off with our scriptures. We're looking at Exodus chapters 19 through 24. So if you want to turn in your Bibles, particularly to chapter 20, please do so. But this is the scenario, okay? Abraham, God called Abraham out from where he lived. You go back to Genesis. And he gave Abraham a promise that he was going to bring him into a promised land. He was going to bless all the nations through him. And he gave him a sign of the covenant, which was circumcision. Fast forward hundreds of years later, the children of Israel, who were out of Abraham's seed, have come down into Egypt through a set of circumstances. They actually moved there because of famine in their land. Well, they became enslaved for hundreds of years. No rights, no nothing. They lived under the Egyptians. And even though Joseph was part of that, Joseph had died off. So their toil and their labor was really hard. And they cried out for a deliverer. So on comes the scene, Moses. And Moses eventually gets pitched out of Egypt, and he goes and lives in another country, but God uses him to come back and deliver the people, okay? So he's delivering them. The children of Israel have come out of Egypt. They've seen great miracles. They've seen God give, tell them to plunder the Egyptians and take gold from them. They've come out. They've wandered through the desert. They were hungry. God gave them manna and quail. So finally, they get to this place called Mount Sinai, where Moses had met God. in the burning bush. So this is where the commandments are given, a set of laws. But think of yourself, if you were a slave or in bondage, would you know how to live in freedom? So you need something to live by. You need some boundaries. You need some laws. You need a way to live. So they go up. Moses goes up to the mountain. God speaks to him and says, I'm going to give you these laws. So we were asking the kids. They were looking at their Bibles. What's one of the first laws? Anybody? Sandra? Huh? What's one of the first commandments or laws? Okay. What's a second one? Okay. Okay, hold on. She can't write that fast. There are 10 commandments. Okay, what was the second one? Okay. Let's put, have no other gods before me. She has really great handwriting, don't you think? Uh-huh, before me. Okay, what's a third one? Anybody? All right. Put don't murder. We're putting it in layman's terms, not the King James, okay? Although we probably learned them in the King James. What's another one? Okay. Honor your parents. Now there's a second part to that. Why should we honor your parents? That's right. So the law shows us that it's conditional, that if you do these things, then God will bless you. With honor your parents, God promises that he will bless people, you'll prosper in the new land, and you will have long life. All right, what's a fifth one? Okay. Remember the Sabbath. It's S-A-B-B-A-T-H. All right, six. Okay, don't steal. What's the seventh one? Okay. Somebody wanted to know, one of the kids wanted to know what covet meant. Okay, so when there's a word that comes up, we do explain what it means. Covet, basically, don't be jealous of what somebody else has. How about number eight? What's an eighth one? Don't commit. Adultery. A-D-U-L-T-E-R-Y. So that word came out. We had to explain what that was. What's a ninth one? Okay. Which also means don't lie. And what's a tenth one?
It's in chapter 20.
Okay. We kind of tied that in with don't be jealous, don't covet, you know. No, we did not. All right, number 10. So why shouldn't we take the Lord's name in vain? What does that mean? It means don't disrespect the name of the Lord. And people do it all the time. And you don't even think about it. In vain. I am. So after this, guess what? Moses disappeared a little bit to be with the Lord. And what did the people do? They made a molten calf and worshiped. So they put other gods before him. So over and over, because as you go on in the other chapters, there are dietary laws. There's so many laws of what you can and cannot do. There and involved with that were things of every time you sin, you'd have to bring a sacrifice. Well, nobody can keep the law. And it was written in stone. And at that time, the Holy Spirit had not been given on a permanent basis, but he was only given for certain things. So how can you live? And this is where Jenny will pick up. And thank you, Sarah.
So I'm going to need my volunteers to come up and help me draw. We're going to need to cut out a piece of paper first. So while they're doing that, it's going to be really quick. I just wanted to say that I really appreciate this church, and I love being a part of this family. We are all a part of something broken, and that's something that I love about this church, that I can find people to talk to. I'm not alone in this, and none of us are alone in this. And so I really, really appreciate everyone through everything that has happened throughout all the years that I've been here. And you guys are my family and my friends. And so I thank you. And so with Laura talking about the Ten Commandments, we're gonna go into Jesus fulfilling the law and him dying on the cross and some of the gifts that he has given to mankind. So we're gonna refer to John chapter 14, verses 15 through 21. And I'm just gonna read that real quick. It says, "If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them." So the last few lines talk about love. When I think about God's love, I think about a big heart. God loved us so much that he sent his son, like it says in John 3:16, he sent his son to the world so that we will not perish but have eternal life if we believe in him. And I think that's amazing. And I also think, you know, God came here, God sent Jesus to die on the cross, but what else happened? Jesus fulfilled the law of love. He loved his God and he loved our God with all of his heart. And he set a good example of what we should do. We should love the Lord with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind. And he also loved his neighbor. And that doesn't mean his friends and his family. He loved them. He also loved his enemies. Loving your enemies is a really, really big thing. And so a few other things that we drew a couple weeks ago, we drew a gift box because God sent a lot of gifts. He sent Jesus dying on the cross, and he also sent the gift of love. And we also drew a dove, which kind of corresponds with the gift, because when Jesus was baptized by John, it said that there was a dove that ascended upon him. But also, when he was crucified and when he resurrected, and when he was in heaven, he asked God to send the Holy Spirit to be with us. And so that is represented by a dove. And so one thing that I want to have y'all keep in mind is that the Holy Spirit didn't come until Jesus was in heaven, until he was fully resurrected. He resurrected and he was on earth to show the disciples, "I'm here, but I'm going to go away, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to be with you." And so that's, yeah, we're doing good. They're really talented. So to sum up what we talked about, Jesus gave us a lot of gifts. He gave us the gift of salvation, the gift of freedom and eternal life, and he sent us the gift of peace, and he sent us the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so with that, I'm going to hand it over to Brandon. Well, we should have it.
I can't believe y'all gave me a microphone. Whew. I was at the Gardeners. Oh, I'm not rapping. I was at the Gardeners. They had Diet Coke there. That's a bad idea. Don't give me Diet Coke. You won't get out of here anytime soon. Yeah. But anyway, I'm gonna read from Matthew 22 verses 34 through 40. And just to let you know, and I'm going to do this after I kind of present my message, we did like a compare and contrast where we take the two commandments that Jesus gave us, and then we have a contrast, you know, to those two commandments if you don't follow those commandments and kind of where your life can end up, because I kind of gave a testimony about my life and how I was a very selfish person. I seeked, you know, kind of my own righteousness, my own goodness, which there is none, and the path that can lead you to. So I'm going to read this scripture and I'll get into it. When the Pharisees heard that he silenced the Sadducees, they came together. One of them, who was a lawyer, tested him by asking him, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." I'm gonna move around a little bit. I don't like standing still, if that's okay. You know, the thing is about the commandments that Jesus gave us is that, like we learned earlier, there were 613 laws that we had to walk out perfectly. But what we didn't share is there were also like 413 ordinances, which is 1,000 things that you have to walk out to please God, which is impossible. You know, and what all this kind of aligns to show us is the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. You know, I've heard someone say it like this: I can't even pump gas without the Holy Spirit. That's how I feel like in my life. I was so twisted and so messed up, and my brain was so fried on drugs and alcohol that I couldn't even form a sentence together. So at this point in my life, I need the Holy Spirit. I depend on the Holy Spirit. That's why I've been teaching about the kids, you know, loving the Lord your God. That really goes along with what Laura was teaching about idolatry, you know, where you put, you know, all of us, maybe there's things in our life that aren't necessarily sin, but if you put them above God, they can become sin, because he wants to be first in your life. It's like for me, if I don't wake up in the morning, if I don't get into the word, if I don't worship him, if I don't depend on the Holy Spirit who's the counselor, the convictor, the comforter. It says in 1 John that we don't even need a teacher because we have the anointing. Now, obviously, we have a preacher and we have a teacher, but it means that our relationship should not be dependent on anybody else but the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus even needed the Holy Spirit. Jesus didn't start his ministry until he received the Holy Spirit. You know, and then he told the disciples that unless I go to the Father, the Holy Spirit will not come. You know, if the disciples needed Jesus, how much more do I need the Holy Spirit? Amen. That's one thing I've been teaching to the kids in their own life. You know, the heart of the Father, putting God above everything in your life. And then the second commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. But you can't love your neighbor as yourself unless you understand the revelation of how much Christ loves you. You know, sometimes we forget that. It's great to praise God, but sometimes I've been to prayer meetings. I can't tell if I'm at a prayer meeting or a funeral service because sometimes people beat themselves up so much. And that's not the word. I mean, John 3:17 says there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. And we beat ourselves up like about our past, and all that was crucified on the cross. You know, and sometimes we just talk about sin, and don't get me wrong, like, it's great what Jesus did, dying for our sin and dying for our healing, but he also died to reestablish the original purpose in the garden. When I think about these two commandments, I think about how literally it's the same commandments before the law, you know, before the law came, when Adam and Eve were in the garden. Those were the two commandments that they followed, which was loving the Lord their God with everything that they were and loving their neighbor as their self, which was each other. You know, what if we just lived in that? What if we just flowed from love? I told the kids, what if you were in school and somebody's picking on you? You know, instead of repaying it with evil, you went to your prayer closet and your heart broke for that person and you prayed for their salvation. Because the kids these days are facing things that even I didn't have to face. I mean, they get joked on for their shoes, for their clothes, which are things they really don't have control over because they can't afford that. But that's the way the world is. You know, the Bible says there's a way that seems right to a man. We live in a day and age where these kids are facing issues that most of us didn't have to face. Now, the parallel that I see is the drug culture that's coming back. You know, heck, I remember I was 15 years old in this church. I had a gram of marijuana in my pocket, had a bowl strapped to my leg. I was going to go smoke after church. That's why I don't, you know, like this morning I was grieved in my spirit, you know, by Anthony, because not that I was condemning him, but because I've been there and I've seen that. You know, this is a twisted world. We have to put Jesus first, because if we don't, we will get swallowed up. That's my prayer for these teens. If they don't put Jesus first in their life, they're going to leave when they're 18, and that world is going to swallow them up because Satan is just waiting to pounce on them. And if you don't believe it, I can give you a nice little testimony and tell you how that happened to me. Because I literally spent 14 of my years being in OCD, anxiety, and depression, and the next 14 being in straight addiction. Blacked out over 20 times from alcohol. Twisted. And maybe what I'm saying is, obviously, some of y'all hopefully aren't doing those things. But your addiction could be video games. Your addictions could be TV, because those things are addictions, where you're just numbing this thing because maybe you have parents at home that don't love you like they should. And that's, you know, and that's everybody's going to be held accountable for their own behavior. You know, your parents should love you, should, you know, the Bible says don't bring your kids, you know, unto anger. You know, so they have a responsibility to show you the love of the Father. And sometimes we don't receive that, and we don't receive love from other people. Then how can we see Jesus? That's why it's important for us to follow him, because there's some people in our life, we're the only representation of Jesus to them. You know, we're the only Jesus they see. That's why Jesus says, let your good deeds be seen by men. Not because we have to have deeds, but we all have deeds, good or bad. We're all called to be disciples. That's not just up to Pastor Bubba or to Naya as a leader or to Andy as a deacon. That's up to all of us. They're equipping us to be light in a dark world, to where they see Jesus through us and we get to stomp hell 24/7. And I love saying it like that because it's the truth. There's people that are in bondage. There's people that when you're at the grocery store, instead of getting mad at the cashier because she messed up your total, why don't you bless her financially and tell her that Jesus loves her? You know, in the American church, I'm sorry, man, I'm getting fired up this morning. In the American church, persecution is the waitress at Chili's messed up my drink order. Oh, my goodness, go to India. I'm just saying, man, and I used to be like that. I was so twisted, man. It was all selfishness. And these two commandments are about now you have the Holy Spirit that was poured out for you to receive, and you can walk in that. And that's amazing. You can have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, with Jesus. And that's what I want these kids to realize. Get in your prayer closet. Seek him. If you don't understand it, that's fine. Sometimes I read this thing and I'm just like, God, I really need you right now because my brain has been so fried and I can't comprehend any of this. And you know what the amazing thing is? The Holy Spirit shows up and he shows you that it's truth. You know, because God magnifies the word above his own name. You know, and the word is important. There's a lot of people that are getting away from it. You know, Jesus says we are to worship him in spirit and truth. So we need the truth of this word to get in us. I used to be the type of person that went around the conferences. I saw God heal people. I've seen some crazy stuff. I've seen blind eyes open. I've prayed for people. I had a guy with an eye patch. I got healed, but I had no foundation in this thing. And you know what happened? I got swallowed up. So what we're going to do is we are going to do a compare and contrast, like I said, of these commandments. So, Sarah, if you want to grab a marker. Dan, you can come up too. That's fine. So basically what we did, we just draw a line right through the middle. And on the left side, if you want to draw two hearts, we're going to draw two hearts, and we're going to write the commandments in those hearts. So, yeah, I got everything underlined that you need to write right here. So that's the first one, and that's the second one. And then what we're going to do, after she's done doing that, we're going to put like four or five circles. And I want you guys to think of things that are contrary to those, like maybe bitterness, selfishness, you know, anger, jealousy. And my prayer is that maybe, because those are things I still deal with, you know. And my prayer is that maybe this will heal us this morning. We'll realize there's things in our heart that aren't of the Father. And that's not condemnation. It's conviction. I want to be convicted every day. You know, I thought about my Aunt Sharon. Y'all heard about that this morning. I was like, man, have I not lived my life like 100% for Jesus so that she can see that in me? You know? Like, because that's what we're called to be. You know, it's not about beating people upside the head, but it's just about showing love and literally being the gospel of peace. you know, and that's still things I'm working on, because, you know, like with my kids, you know, I'm sitting there, standing there, and they're nudging me and poking me, and I'm just, I feel that anger start to rise up. I'm like, that's not Jesus, you know, and we're all still working on this thing. You know, I used to be the type of person, like, I just want everything now. I want everything's perfected now, but Bubba says it perfectly. We're not fully redeemed yet. We're on that road. You know, it's daily sanctification. It's the daily process of Holy Spirit working in your life. And I just repeat the same things because I need to. I need to hear the same things over and over. That's how I learned. You know, sometimes we just hear thing once. We hear something one time. It's like the parable of the sower. And then something else comes into our life, and it's more important. And we put it above God. And it's so easy for that to happen. I mean, it's like Jesus paid a price for relationship. Not just to get you to heaven, to get heaven into you. That just blows my mind. I'm very glad they're good at being artistic, because I am not. Like, if I was to draw anything, it'd be a stick figure. That's actually one of the things I told him last night, because, you know, we're learning about the Holy Spirit, but, like, the first night, Tanea had them kind of draw out, like, their understanding of the lesson plan, and they didn't even know it, but it was the Holy Spirit working in them in a creative way, you know, and that's the amazing thing. I mean, the Holy Spirit, you know, I know a lot of people who are passionate about the arts, that's what they want to see is, you know, artistic expressions through the Holy Spirit, you know, through music, through art, and I love it. And that's what these kids are doing. All right. Sweet. All right, so just draw like 4 or 5 circles. It doesn't, yeah. Sweet. All right, so you can just go ahead and write if you want. Does anybody have something that's contrary to the first and second commandment? So I'll paraphrase the first one, loving the Lord your God with everything that you are, and the second one being love your neighbor as yourself. Yes.
Hatred.
Anger was one. Anybody else? Strife. Let's go on. And we need one more. It's a good one. So anyway, we're going to present this at the end. Actually, Dylan's going to present it, and he's going to do a really good job. And but that's pretty much. I just want to say one thing real quick. I really enjoyed getting to work with, you know, Tanea, Jenny, and Laura, because Laura talked about it. We are all messed up people. Trust me. I mean, seriously, there's times I go up there to speak, and I'm just in my mind. Like, the last week, my mind went blank, and I was like, all right, Holy Spirit, you got to give me something. And then, you know, and sometimes, you know, like right now, I get nervous, you know, but I feel peace in this place. I feel y'all are family, you know. I love you guys. And I think that's where my heart's at. It's like, I want, and Bubba's talked about it, I really want to see us, I don't want to just build a youth program. I want us just to really build a community. And we already have that here, but to really make the kids feel a part of it. And there's so much of y'all in here that have so much wisdom and knowledge from your past jobs. Some of y'all are retired, and some of y'all are great teachers, have a foundation in the Bible. Y'all can pour into these kids' lives, and that's what we're trying to do. So I just want to thank y'all for allowing me. I want to thank Pastor Bubba and the elders and everybody that, you know, has trusted me to be a part of this, and I really appreciate it.
Okay, so who's presenting this one? Come on up, Zach. You want your friend Aaron to hold it for you?
Sure. They drew a big heart because that shows God's big love for us. They drew a world because God so loved the world, he gave his only son, and he died on the cross, which is at the bottom. In the top left, they drew a gift because God gave us a gift of being with him and having eternal life in heaven. And they drew a dove to show when Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit descended on him. like a dove. Aaron.
He's a drummer, by the way.
He is. Okay, and then Dana, you said you wanted to hold it while Dylan presents it.
So on your left are two of the commandments that Jesus gave from God. One of them is, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment that God gave us. The second one is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You shall love the you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On those two commandments, anyways, on your right are some things that are contradictory to it, such as jealousy, revenge, hatred, anger, and strife. So what you have to go and do is to let the Holy Spirit into your heart to be able to go and follow through with all these. The Holy Spirit gives you knowledge and strength to go and push through and gives you advice for it. The devil goes and speaks these contradictory words to those. The reason for this being is he's trying to go and pull you away from the Lord, but the Holy Spirit goes and pulls you back in. It pulls you back to God and helps you go and pull through with it.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. So Bubba, that a couple of weeks ago when we were in the office and I walked him through what we did that Saturday night, he was like, well, I'm going to, you know, it kind of seemed like he wanted a break today. And so he wanted us to run the service. And I was like, oh, you know, my time has come. But I don't know if we're really, you know, I don't really know if we're there yet. And so I brought up the idea to the leaders, and they were okay with it. And then I brought it up to the kids that Saturday night, and there was no complaining. I was like, what? And so then we all took turns praying for it, and the kids prayed very beautifully for Youth Group Sunday. And so Dylan's prayer was that when they got up here, they wouldn't be like robots, but that there would actually be meaning behind their words. And so Dylan, we practiced last night, and I didn't know he was going to say all that. And what you shared was really profound, Dylan. Like, you did an excellent job. And so God really spoke through you today. And that's the whole point. Okay, and so if you see in your bulletin, I have an announcement. So at the end of this month, the last Saturday, May 25th, you guys, I'm announcing this to you too. So you guys are going to be running youth group that night. And so like your younger siblings or the kids in Sunday school are invited and you guys are going to be ministering to them. So we're going to be working on that this month. So May 25th, kids under 12 are welcome. So the teenagers are going to be running it for the kids.
How about that? Isn't that awesome? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Y'all, each one of y'all did a great job. And Jenny, you amaze me. My jaw dropped last week and it dropped again today. You're amazing. So it was awesome. So let's stand to our feet. I'll close us in prayer. And if you need prayer, come on up. The youth group will pray for you if you need prayer this morning. Okay? So Lord, thank you, Lord, for your wonderful grace in our lives. I thank you for these people. I thank you for the family that we have. Lord, we pray that, I pray that your blessing would rest on each one of these. I pray for the young man that was here today, Lord, that you would begin or continue a good work in him, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's children said,
Amen.
Amen. God bless.